Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Tonight, let's open our Bibles to Acts of the Apostles, the 27th chapter. Acts of the Apostles, the 27th chapter. Verses 10 and 11. Acts 27, verses 10 and 11.
And said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul.
Amen. This evening I want to title the message, Discerning the Voice of the Holy Spirit. Look at somebody and say that. Discerning the voice of the Holy Spirit. The most important thing in your life is to listen to Jesus. Are you with me? My sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me. My sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me. Amen. To discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. Last Friday evening I was preaching on staying connected. And how would you stay connected to Jesus? You stay connected to Jesus, number one, through his voice, by what he speaks to you. I've seen that whether in any kind of relationship, whether it be your relationship with Jesus, your relationship with people, I've seen that there are certain symptoms that happen when you have lost connection. Certain signs, certain symptoms that you can see in people over years of ministry and seeing people and wanting to see relationships built. I've seen certain symptoms that are common. One is that when somebody's wanting to lose connection, their walls go up. Their walls go up. They suddenly begin to shut down. They shut down emotionally. They shut down in communication. They shut down within their own hearts. They begin to build up walls. Suddenly there are walls that are coming up. Whenever you want to disconnect yourself either from God or from people or from church, this normally happens. Walls go up. There's no more freedom. You see, the second symptom that I've seen is you begin to sense that person making out of character comments. Out of character comments. Suddenly you hear somebody who's been coming to church all through their life saying, what's the use of going to church? Or you hear them say, it was a part of their church still. It was a part of their life still, that church. But out of context comments. Or you begin to hear, they're making comments like, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. It's out of context. You wonder what's happened to them. I mean, what happened? Somewhere, some hurt. Something disillusioned, something about their lives or about somebody, they're disillusioned in their minds. Something has happened and they're disconnecting. The third symptom that I've seen when people disconnect is they tend to lean heavily on a third party. Basically somebody who will support the way of thinking that they have. So you look for some other joker who is miserable. Are you with me? Some other guy who is backslidden. Some other person who is a gossip freak. Some other person who is hurt. And you begin to have a relationship with them. And you forget the rest of the church. A heavy leaning on somebody else. A real friend, let me tell you, a real friend, a real brother, a real sister is somebody who will push you in your destiny with God and not somebody who will take you away from God. Are you with me? Any friend that loses you to focus on anything else away from Jesus and the church and God's word and from your relationship that God has given you in church, it's not a true friend. The fourth symptom when somebody tries to disconnect is that they begin to have, you know, and you can't take this in isolation, but I've seen this. They begin to have a new obsession with themselves. A new obsession. A new obsession with themselves by itself is not what I'm saying, but when you take it in the context of all the symptoms that I'm saying, suddenly they, you know, are too much into health. There's nothing wrong with being too much into health. There's nothing wrong with going to a gym, following a certain diet, or eating the right kind of food, or working out, or playing a game. There's nothing wrong with that. But suddenly, everything else is cut away, and you're suddenly obsessed with, okay, health, or travel. I want to travel around the world. There's nothing wrong with traveling around the world. Are you with me? But suddenly it is like one holiday to another. I just need to keep going on, because you're trying to run away somewhere within yourself. Suddenly your pet plant at home is keeping you away from church, because who will be there to water the plant if you go to church? Who will feed your dog if you go to church? But suddenly you have this, the thing called most of the sickness that most Christians have, excusitis. Excusitis. It's just suddenly excuses come about. Something important came about. Something else happened. This happened. That. You know what is happening? The devil is deceiving you to disconnect yourself gradually away from the things of God, away from Jesus, away from the purpose that God has got for your life, away from meaningful relationships, away from commitment, away from the purpose and plans of God over your life. And it is time for the church to stand up and say, I won't let that happen in my life. I won't let that happen in my family. I am going to connect with the things of God. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. The sixth thing, or the fifth thing, suddenly you begin to see minor things as major. Little small things are now major things. You never had a problem with minor things. Now those minor things begin to become, mole holes become mountains. Are you with me? Small little things. You begin to say, nobody loves me. I called the pastor twice. He didn't pick up the phone. I had an ulcer in my mouth and nobody came and prayed for me. Come on. Put a gel in your mouth and come to church. Small little things. Now you begin to major as if, you know, the Third World War is about to start, or the Battle of Armageddon is just around the corner. You begin to make it look like a major thing. Let me tell you, in life, like I said last week, in life, you will be offended. Are you with me? If you think you can go through life without getting offended, you are mistaken. Jesus said, offenses will come. He didn't say offenses might come. He said offenses will come. But when it happens, learn to forgive. Learn not to hold on to bitterness. Learn not to harden your heart and say, Lord, I forgive. I bless that person. I want to be connected. I want to be connected in the church. I want to be connected with you. I want to see your purposes in my life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, stay connected. Stay connected. The last point, the symptom that I've seen when people want to lose their connection is that they'll cut off from everyone that will challenge them. And everyone that will disapprove with the decisions that they are making in life, they'll cut them off. You'll cut off from people, everybody who corrects you. Let me tell you, this is a church where, you know, the Lord told me a long time back, son, I'm building an army. And I want you to train up people to be soldiers in the army of God. The Lord gave a vision years back about an end time move of the Holy Spirit where a mighty army for Jesus would stand up. And they are not going to be people who get offended by every little thing and looking to run away. They are people who guard each other's back and stand in line and stand in order. And who will say, let's go, Commander. Let's go do this for Jesus Christ. We are together in the things of God. And let me tell you, if you're looking for a church that is kind of comfortable, that doesn't stir you up or preach kind of strongly to you, find another church. Are you with me? Or go back to your old church. No offense. But chances are that when you come to a church like this that speaks about Jesus as the only way of salvation, as the only mediator, that speaks about forgiving and letting go of bitterness and staying connected and staying humble and staying holy and staying prayerful and, you know, guarding each other's back and being supportive and learning to be obedient to the Lord and learning to handle finances the right way and all that. Chances are that if you are not looking to really be connected with the Lord and grow to the stature that Christ wants you to grow into, you will say, listen, let me look for something that I can just disconnect myself from. When God is raising you up, most of the time you want to relate with your peers. When God is actually wanting you to relate with people above you in the Lord. And that's what happens. You begin to cut yourself from, you look for somebody. You know, there are people in the church who might try to lift them up into leadership and you want them to learn from you and minister with you for the glory of Jesus and you want to speak into their lives. But time and again, they go and they would like to be with somebody who is half committed and on the wall kind of Christian who is just coming to church because he doesn't look good if he doesn't come to church. People will ask and so he just has to be there. Are you with me? Well, I don't know where I'm going with this, but this is not the message. We're going to get into Acts 27. We're looking at some of the symptoms when you try to disconnect. Now, we won't go further into that, but somebody needed that. Are you with me? Lift your hand and say, Lord, help me to stay connected to Jesus and to the church and in my family. Say that again. Lift your hand and say that again. Lord Jesus, help me to stay connected to you, to your word, to your church, and to the family. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now give a shout to Jesus one more time. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Acts chapter 27. One of the ways that you stay connected to Jesus is by the ability that God wants you to have where you can discern His voice. Like I said a couple of weeks back on a Sunday evening service, our Jesus does not have laryngitis. He speaks. Are you with me? Only thing that you need is to be willing to, what? Listen. Look at somebody and say, listen to the Lord. Listen to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now the scripture that we read, we know the story, Acts chapter 27. Paul is getting onto a ship and Paul is saying, I perceive this travel is going to end up in a disaster. And they had to take a decision where the journey has to go on. And so there is the voice of the expert opinion. Look at Acts 27. Look at that one more time, please. The five voices that is there. And I want to teach you on how you can discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 27, the 11th verse. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship. So there is the expert, the master of the ship. He knows the seas. He's got the skill. The expert opinion is there. Two, the owner of the ship is there. When you look into financial consideration, this is my ship. If something happens to the ship, oh boy, I'm going to lose a lot of finances. So they got to take a decision about the journey. So the expert says, listen, let's not go now. You look at financial consideration, it doesn't look, you know, if Paul were to say it, it doesn't look good. But the financial expert says, it is my ship, I think it's going to be a full journey. Third, is the majority advice. 275 people apart from Paul, they say, okay, let's have a decision. Who all wants to go on this trip? And 275 people lift their hands. The majority of them. Are you with me? The majority of them. 275. Then there is the circumstantial evidence. The Bible says the wind was favorable. Now is the right time to sell the stock and buy a new share or whatever. Or put it into some other, you know, put it into plantation or buy some land there or whatever. You look at a business deal, this is the right time. The wind is favorable. And the fifth voice, Paul saying, I perceive. This is going to end in disaster. Are you with me? Who will you listen to? Let me ask you something. If you were in that ship that evening, making that journey, in your Christian journey, if you were there, the expert says, do this. The captain says, let's go. We've got a pilot here in his uniform. Lift up your hand and say, thank God I'm a pilot. I'll fly safely. The people that are in my care, say that. Hallelujah. It's a declaration of faith so we can safely enter, get into the plane while you're flying. Amen. Yeah, that's good. The master of the ship says, listen, everything is okay. Let's go. Financial consideration, perfect. Majority is with you. Circumstances are favorable. But Paul says, I perceive. Paul, what are you saying? What do you mean? What's the logic behind this? What's the logic behind what you're saying, Paul? No logic. I just perceive. Are you with me? So how do you discern the voice of the Holy Spirit? Who will you listen to? There are five kinds of spiritual leading. Open your mouth and say five kinds of spiritual leading. The first one is called spiritual conviction. Open your mouth and say spiritual conviction. Say that again. Spiritual conviction. Say that again. Spiritual conviction. John chapter 16. When the Spirit of God comes, He will convict you. Are you with me? It's an inner awareness of there is something that is wrong. When you want to take a decision in any aspect of your life, and when you want to listen to the Lord, and when you're surrendered before Him, and when you're saying, Lord, your voice matters more than financial consideration and majority and an expert opinion, all that. Your voice matters, Lord. And when you are in that kind of teachable mode, submitted to the will of God, God will place spiritual conviction. It's like a check in your spirit. Are you with me? A check in your spirit. That something is not right. A check in your spirit. I say it, you know, it's almost like washing your feet with your socks on. Have you tried that? That's the kind of feeling you feel here. You're praying about something. Do I take this? Do I do this? And then a spiritual check. It's almost like something is not right. It's almost like you're pouring water over socks in your feet. Well, you better make sure it's from the Lord. Because if you're really not submitted to the Lord, it could also be from the pizza that you had last evening. You know what I mean? You just feel a little uncomfortable here. It's the Domino's pizza that you had. Pastor, I was praying and I just felt I was going to have a heart attack. I was praying about this. Just make sure it's not the pizza. Are you with me? Well, that happens. It's happened to me. It's happened to me. It was not pizza, but it was Trivandrum chicken corner chicken. Ate too much of the chicken. I went to sleep at 12 in the night. And you're getting up to pray over something. You feel heavy in your heart. And say, oh my God. Is the rapture going to happen? Jesus is going to come. Oh my God. The second spiritual leading that God gives you is what is called a Spirit's witness. Open your mouth and say, Spirit's witness. Say that again. Spirit's witness. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit of God Himself will witness with your spirit. Say, Spirit witness. Spirit witness is basically an assurance that comes from God saying, everything is all right. It is just something that says, everything is all right. Are you with me? Sometimes people call me up with issues and they ask for prayer, and suddenly you're praying and suddenly the Spirit of God witnesses this. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. But sometimes they would rather listen to the doctor or to the nurse or to some expert opinion, some majority, and they'll just go, Pastor, what do you mean it's okay? I'm a little worked up and worried and anxious and upset. What do you mean it's going to be okay? It's going to be okay. You know, God speaks to you. It's almost like, how many of you came via Kundanur this evening? People who are watching us by net, Kundanur is a place near our church. It's a very, you know, a tourist attraction. Next time you come, please come and experience the roadblocks there. How many of you came through Kundanur Junction? Well, how many of you see those lights there? You're coming in your car? And there is this red light that shines. The red light that shines there doesn't stop your car, does it? It's just a sign. Who has to stop? You have to stop. The red light is what God shows. God won't make you stop. God will tell you something is wrong when He spiritually convicts you. Don't get into this relationship. Don't get into this business. Don't go on that trip. Don't do this. He shows you the red light. You got to stop. He doesn't make you stop. Are you with me? Just the red light. Spirit's witness is the green light that gives you the assurance. Drive on. The third one is what is called spiritual burden. Open your mouth and say that. Are you learning something to this evening? Open your ears to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm willing to listen. Teach me in Jesus' name. The third one is called a spiritual burden. Look, open your mouth and say, spiritual burden. Open your mouth and say that again. A spiritual burden. Two people said that. Come on, say it together. Say that again. Spiritual burden. Acts chapter 20. And verse 22, Paul is saying, now behold, I go bound in the Spirit. Behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. I go bound in the Spirit. It's like an inward persuasion that God places in your heart. But there might be no clear directions. But it's almost like a persuasion that God places into your heart. You know, it's almost like somebody's taking you by hand, but not by your hand. Your heart is in the hands of the Lord. Are you with me? can't shake it off. You can't encourage yourself and get over it. You can't sing it out. It's a signal. It's not a language. It's a signal. All that you can do is when you're bound in the spirit, you can only go to the Lord and say, Lord, you are the burden remover. Speak to me. And sometimes it is like when you have that burden, you can pray in the spirit. You can go and pray. And after you pray, you see, sense the burden lifting up. And when you pray, then keep quiet. Say, Lord, speak and open your mouth. And most of the time, through your own mouth, the word for that situation will come. The Lord will say, don't be afraid to go ye on to Panipat, for I'll be with you. And I will work great signs and miracles there. And I will bring revival in that city for my name's sake. For my presence shall go with you. Are you with me? But if you don't pray with that, when you feel bound in the spirit, when you don't pray, God can't speak. You gotta pray in the Holy Spirit. Look at somebody and say, pray in the Holy Spirit. You can't use your reason and logic and intelligence and all that's good. That's a different sense of faculties which God will want you to use at some other time. But not when He wants to spiritually lead you. Are you with me? The fourth one is called Spirit's Testimony. Open your mouth and say the Spirit's Testimony. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 21 and verses 10 and 11. It says that there was a prophet by the name of Agabus, and he came unto us and took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus says the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind this man that owneth this girdle and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. You see that? The prophet, somebody from outside, a man of God or a prophet of God will come and prophesy over your life. That's the Spirit's testimony. A prophet will testify to your burden. Are you with me? God uses somebody else with the gift of the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Sometimes people go to a pastor or to a prophet and say, please speak to us, tell us. God won't. You have to first seek the face of God with the burden that you have. A prophet or a pastor will only confirm that which God has already told you. Are you with me? Because God will speak inside out, not outside in. It is not like you are in the supermarket and suddenly a prophet comes and lays hands upon you, or you are in your friend's house and suddenly they're having a prayer meeting and suddenly a man of God comes, lays hands upon you and says, God says, leave the church. The church that you are in, it's not the church for you. Come to my church. It is amazing, you smile, but I see so many people going in error with you know, trying to get spiritual and going after men of God and servants of God and going from conference to conference and meeting to meetings and calling up every prayer line that see on TV and say, please pray and tell us. Our pastor doesn't pick up the phone. Please, you pray and tell us. Let me tell you, during the time of Obadiah, during the time of Ahab in 1 Kings, you will find there were 400 prophets. 400 prophets said the very thing that the king wanted to hear. But the one that God had placed over the king was the prophet Elijah. Elijah alone said, no, no, no. When you are in a church where God has planted you, There might be pastors, prophets outside. 400 of them might agree with you and tell you what you want to hear. But the man of God whom God has placed above you is the one that you listen to, because that's where God will lead you. Everyone else said, go fight the battle. God is with you. Go get into this business. The prophet Elijah said, no. 400 of them. And that is why somewhere in some point of your life, you need to realize God in His great love places you in His body. Are you with me? In the body of Jesus. That's the local church where He places you. Just like you couldn't choose your parents, you couldn't choose the church. God placed you there. Too bad that you have a pastor like me. Lift your hand and say, hallelujah. Are you enjoying God's word? Are you learning something today? The work of a prophet or spirit's testimony is never to give you a word, but to tell you what you already know. And the last one is the spiritual perception that Paul spoke about. I perceive, spiritual perception. It's an inward knowing about things, people, places. You can say an inner intuition. Are you with me? In the intuition, God. About places, people. When I would go with my spiritual father to pray over a place or a house, we would walk in, and he would just walk in and he would look. You see that? And I'll say, see what? That chandelier? No. The guy be sitting behind the chandelier, the demon. But he could perceive. You see that? That guy. You see the guy? Well, he's a divider. He will divide the church. You see the way his tongue is? In the spirit, you perceive. God shows you. Many a time I thank God for Him warning me. He's warned me about people. And sometimes, still in your heart, you pray and still say, Lord, please, please, Lord. Spiritual perception. Hallelujah. Are you with me today? Are you learning something? Amen. Let me tell you, God will only speak to you. Remember this. Never forget it. God will only speak to you things concerning your responsibility. Open your mouth and say, God will only speak to me things concerning my responsibility. John 21. Jesus is walking with Peter and John. And suddenly Jesus says to Peter, Peter, when you are old, this is how you're going to die. They will drag you. They will kill you. Peter, this is how you're going to die. This is what's going to happen to you. Can you hear me? Are you scared of darkness? Look at the person sitting next to you. Show all the teeth. Come on. Are you getting scared? Those of you who have never prayed, you will pray now. Look at the person sitting next to you. Hallelujah. Jesus says to Peter, this is how we're going to die, Peter. This is kind of what's happened to you. And you know what, Peter? Peter turns back and says, Lord, what about this guy, John? What about John? You know what God says? What about John? I will tell him. That's not your responsibility. What about John? About John, I will tell him. And this principle in the scripture is usually called the witty principle. Say the witty principle. Witty. What is that to you? That's what Jesus asked him. Are you with me? What is that to you? Witty principle. What is that to you? Don't try to listen to God for somebody else who is not in your responsibility. Are you with me? What's in your responsibility? That's the only thing that God will speak to you. Don't, you know, sometimes people go about saying, I have a word from God for you. Hello? God showed me this about you. Is that your responsibility? Doesn't that person have a pastor? Hello, God said this. But there are times when people have told me, come and told me, Pastor, this is how the church should be. This is how, these are the guys we should have, these are the guys we should not have. Well, I am very open, I am very teachable. But how can God speak to that person? Are you with me? I have people above me, I don't want to name them, who instruct me. When I get a counsel from God, I ask them also to pray, discern, especially things concerning the church. Because you want to make sure that you have done your best for the Lord and for His work. But not somebody who doesn't have responsibility over that area. Okay, so we gotta bring it to a close. We'll continue with stay connected over different areas. We'll go on with it in the weeks to come, hopefully. The first thing that you do is be patient and pray if God has to speak to you. Be willing to confirm what God has already spoken to you. Are you with me? Amen. Huh? Be patient and pray. Don't be afraid. Jesus said, test all the prophecies. Don't be afraid even to test it. Don't be afraid to place a word that you feel is from God on the shelf. Because God spoke in the Garden of Eden and said, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. He spoke a word and he kept it on the shelf for nearly 6,000 years. So be patient, listen, pray. Is that simple enough? Check if it agrees with the Bible. God is not moody, he doesn't change his mind. Truth is eternal. Opinion changes. Science changes. The computer book that you study changes. Truth never changes. Are you with me? God's word never changes. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord shall not pass away. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. For example, you don't need to pray and ask God to say, Lord, do I need to pay taxes this year? Because the Bible says in Romans 13, pay your taxes. So you don't need to pray and ask, Lord, my God, this year do I need to pay taxes? Lord, can I sleep with my boyfriend? Can I sleep with my girlfriend? I sense a leading. Yeah, that's a leading to hell. You know what I mean? God's word says you cannot. Only in the context of marriage. The third, how do you discern? You have to see the word that God spoke to you. Does it make you more like Jesus? If it's just going to puff you with pride and you act like, you know, you're the most spiritual person in town and hello, I've arrived. And does anybody need a word from God? No. Does it make me more like Jesus? Jesus is the standard. Look at somebody and say, Jesus is the standard. When you are in confusion about taking a decision in your life, always ask this question. What would Jesus do? Open your mouth and say that. What would Jesus do? Say that again. What would Jesus do? Last scripture, and then we're going to pray. Can I have this anointed servant of God on the keyboard? James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Have I given you an appetite to seek the face of the Lord, to hear from Jesus? Anybody? Amen. James chapter 3. Verses 16. Can somebody read it? No, I will read it. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom or the voice from heaven or what God speaks to you is first pure. It is peaceable. It is gentle. And it is easy to be entreated. Full of mercy and good fruits. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. Are you with me? I want you to go look through that scripture and see the motive of your heart. Would it make me more like Jesus, this thing that God spoke to me? Is it full of envy? This car that I want to buy, is it to make somebody envious? Yeah, you got only a Maruti 800, I got a Ford Icon. God spoke to me, said, guy, a Ford Icon. Hey, that is not God. That wisdom is earthly. It is almost devilish. Don't say God spoke to you because it had envy in it. The dress that you wear, God asked you to buy this dress. You know, I went for the sale. Every time a woman hears the voice of God is when she is at a sale. I went for the sale and wow, 50% off. It's like a branded stuff. It look, make me look prettier than my sister. My cousins are gonna cry. I'm gonna tell them how the Holy Spirit of God led me to that particular super mall when they were having a 50% discount sale and I got it. It's not from God. Is the word that you get, the wisdom that you think has come from God, is it self-serving? Then you're far away from God. It's only about me, is it? What about your family? What about the church? Is it peaceable? You say you God spoke to you. Or is it peaceable? Does it bring a division? Or does it bring in unity? Sometimes people, you know, fight saying they heard from God. And there's a conflict at home, conflict at church. One thing I've realized, I was not sure for some years. But I prayed about it. I checked on scriptures and I want to teach you one of these days. I realized that all gossip is satanic. All gossip. All gossip is satanic when you study scripture. Everything that condemns, everything that accuses is diabolic. When you accuse a brother or sister or somebody else, it's diabolic. The devil is an accuser of the brethren. When you see somebody's weakness as a Christian, you pray. You become like Jesus and you pray and intercede for them and cover them up. But when you're gonna accuse somebody, condemn somebody, it's not the wisdom that comes from God. Are you with me? Because of lack of time, I can't go deeper. You have to check whether a thought that comes from God, is it considerate? Does it lead me more, makes me more submissive and teachable? Or does it make me proud and unteachable? Does it make me full of mercy, forgiving? Or does it make me judgmental and harsh and critical and accusing? And are you with me? That kind of wisdom is from the earth. It is sensual and it comes from the devil. But the wisdom from heaven is pure. It's easily entreatable. When you hear from God, you'll be able to speak it out with pastors and come and say, I thought God spoke to me. Pastor, what do you think? Lift your hand and say, Jesus, make me a little more like you. Help me to be connected to you. Speak to me. Speak to me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes and pray. Close your eyes and pray. The wisdom from heaven is sincere. I want to ask you, are you sincere in your desire to follow Jesus? To be really connected with Jesus? What's your heart like? Take some time to this evening to allow the Holy Spirit to prepare your heart. If you have been self-seeking and envious and partial and all that, say, Lord, I'm sorry. That's all it takes. Are you somebody who disunites with your words, critical and slandering and accusing? And well, somebody harmed you, somebody did you wrong, but have you forgiven? Do you speak bad about others? How is your heart? This evening, God's word wants to set you free. It's the time for transformation. It's not for the time to harden your heart. It's the time for you to humble yourself, to say, Lord, soften my heart. I want to be like Jesus. Forgive me for every mistake I've made. I want to come closer to you. I want to be connected to you. I want to be connected to your work. I want to be connected to the church. I want to be connected with my spiritual family. I don't want to build walls. Everybody's got something to repent of. Take your time with Jesus alone. Either kneel down or stand up in the presence of Jesus this evening. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart. We're going to take 10 minutes more of just worshiping and just allowing the Lord to work in our hearts in worship. But it's your time with Jesus alone. God has enforced himself onto you. He sent his word. Now respond to his word.